Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 648 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is September 12th, 2021. And that little kind of hesitation pause was me thinking, did we update the show number? I don't know. But we did. So we're good. Hey, we're on every Sunday, 4 p.m. in the 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 9 p.m. in the UK. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. We provide a seamless professional podcast about video games. No shenanigans. Nothing silly.
No
nudity. We promise. Joining me today, Mr. Pants on the Ground, Robin Tate.
Robin. Hey. Hello, Greg. You've got nice rosy cheeks today.
I do. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, nice to be back. And nice to be back with no responsibilities whatsoever, apart from keeping my hands out of my pants. So
That is a core responsibility, Robin. It really is. Also on the show, spinning the decks, Mr. Mark Wright.
Hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. Yeah, Mark Alex from sunny West Yorkshire, God's own country. How's it going?
It's going good. It's going good. As it already has been noted, yes, it is the three amigos. No Kim, no Mongoose, no bald-headed hitman. That, by the way, I'm convinced now Phil is a hitman. I think he does have a barcode on the back of his neck, and so there's that. So we're here. We're talking video games. We're talking life stuff. We'll have some stories to talk about. I can guarantee that. Before we get into that, though, quick birthday shout out to Jason Powell, also known as Step J. He actually is turning the big 5-0. So congratulations. You are almost ready to get your senior discount. Jason, this song is for you. All right. Real quickly, we want to give a big shout of encouragement, cheers, and just support for Lewis Danson. He is out of the hospital now, or at least out of the ICU. He's been recovering from COVID. Anytime one of our community members is down, feeling ill, dealing with whatever, we're there to support. So, Lewis, get well soon, please.
Absolutely, buddy. Absolutely. Greg, you probably got to meet Lewis at EGX. So he would be at every one of these shows, usually with Dan.
They were at the Mexican restaurant, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, good lad. He's a good, solid fella. Don't worry, mate. We'll take care of Jenny for you.
Don't let Robin take care of Jenny. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Hopefully get out soon. So, good lad. I see he's starting to go onto social media again, so... But he was an ICU. I think he was pretty bad. So,
yeah.
All right. But good on the way to recover. That's the main thing.
That is the main thing. Absolutely. So let's just dive into some story time. Robin, we'll start with you.
Don't you want a jingle?
Okay, sure. Why not?
Hooray, story time. Hooray, story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
Sorry, Robin, real quickly. Breaking news. Lord has bought a Series S today.
Ooh.
Congratulations on your new baby.
Good lad.
Yeah.
A nice new car. That's those Teslas, isn't it?
I think so. All electric, something like that. Robin, what's been going on in your life this past week?
Busy week again for me. Done some travels this week. I was in a place for an overnight a few hundred miles away from here, deep in southern Mexico, a place called Carlo. We had a new site that had opened, and I wanted to go down and hand over a bottle of bubbly to the owners and have a chat with them and do all the touchy-feely stuff that I'm supposed to be doing now. And I wanted to have a look at a few other sites down and around that area. I was in a place called Ballinabulla. It exists. Yes, Ballinabulla.
Ballinabulla.
Ballinabulla. I've traveled. But I suppose, I had meetings in the morning, I had to go to the office in the afternoon, and then I drove on the way down here. And it was a few hundred miles. And I think
for those that don't know, Ballinabulla, it's just north of Cancun.
Yeah, well, there's a few. Anyway, it was late when I was getting into the hotel. It was about seven-ish, I arrived in the hotel. And I just threw my bags in the room and got into my gym gear because I searched for a hotel with a gym. Imagine! So I've been working hard. And my weight fluctuates a lot. You know, I mean, since the end of July, I've got a stone off, bar 1 pound away from a stone. I've got another stone or so to go before I get happy again. But I'm taking it seriously, even though I'm having a glass of wine tonight. But I'm being very, very restrained.
Weight don't fluctuate. I'm a constantly fat bastard.
never say that. Never give up. it's a big glass. No, my problem has been it's the snacking and eating in the middle and eating late and not necessarily eating the wrong things, but maybe just a bit OTT. Now, I did fall off the wagon a little bit last night and had some chips, would you call them? Some chips with my rum as I was sitting and watching the telly. But I'd done really good workout yesterday and a good workout today again with my VR.
Nice.
But anyway, going to this gym, I haven't been in a gym proper in years. Oddities, first off, everybody's really masked up in and around southern Mexico. They're really, really funny, even more so than up here. So I arrive at the hotel and then the reception's masked up and I put my mask on respectfully and go to my room and go straight down to the gym and you free entry into the gym. It's a busy gym. There's a lot of people from the outside going to this. There's a pool out at the gym. And you sign in and she buzzes you through the door and not one bugger inside there is wearing a mask or anything whatsoever.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me only from the standpoint of if you've ever tried to work out wearing a mask,
it's just a curiosity. You know, it is that oddity that people are sweating and breathing. Right. They were wiping sort of stuff down after you left it. I'd done some running. I got on the rowing machine. I lifted some weights. And it's strange watching the people that come to the gym. It really is strange. So, you get big fat fuckers that just walk at 1 miles an hour on the treadmill and stop every 2 minutes to fucking text. What's the fucking point? I went to the gym for an hour. I was in the gym all night. And they move around from thing to thing and they sit down and do the leg curling weights and maybe do one. They stop and they're on the phone.
Then my favorite, Robin, real quick. Yep. So to your point, absolutely, you see this all the time. At my old gym, there was this – it was a pretty elderly guy. I would say he might have been younger because, it was one of those things where he was – I want to say it was Filipino. So sometimes their age can be deceiving. They look a little younger than they actually are type thing. But I pegged him for being at least 65. But he would come in every morning to the gym and he would just sit on the leg extension machine. And he would sleep.
Didn't use it, just sat on it.
No, he would fall asleep on the leg machine, you know, just in there doing nothing. And I just laughed. I'm like, and I bet he goes home every day and says, I go to the gym every day.
Yeah, and I can't get the speed off. It's terrible. So, I go in there and I do a hard 15 minutes on the treadmill and I do a hard 15 minutes on the rowing machine and then go over to the little weights to do some curls and ups. And I lift these weights that are the right for me, like the ones I use at home. And, of course, the other type of ones that you get are the professional gym beefcake.
Right.
So he's there, and he's built, and he's, you know, mid-40s, maybe early 50s, you know, a few tats, you know, and he walks past me, and I swear to God, he shook his head. Like,
you
girl waits for. They're fucking little barbells. What are you doing? Yeah, so when it's strange just watching people in it there. And then you have the gorgeous girl, you know, who's right. getting, who has the personal trainer who right. is lunges in front of you and all that. So, yeah, that's interesting too in its own strange way. So, and then you have like two businessmen, overweight businessmen that go and do everything, and they do everything for 30 seconds or about a minute. And then, you know, they're patting each other on the back and, oh, try this and this. No, okay. Anyway, so, yeah, I don't know if I'm not a gym person. I don't like going. Yes, when I'm going away on business now, I'm going to try and do that. But I think that one night or two nights a week will be enough because I don't. So people are strange people. So that was good fun. I have been on a little bang spree again.
Okay. Am I going to get stuff? More burrito blankets?
No. I bought some vinyl this week. I'm rebuying all my vinyl, like Paul Simon Graceland on vinyl. It's lovely to have. Just there, I got the 12-inch single again of New Order, Blue Monday. It's probably one of the best 12-inch singles ever made. Absolutely fantastic. And as you know, I'm trying to sort of recollect a lot of my old computers that I had, and then I seem to be buying stuff that I didn't have. So I bought an iMac. Got it yesterday. Okay. It's second generation iMac.
All right. If you want, if you want an old, you know, the old G Power ones. I've got one of them. If you want one of them,
yeah,
and it works
like a tower, or like a
The tower. Yeah, and it's got like the handles at the front. It was Danny's. He had it. It's just sat in the shed doing fuck all. If you want it, it's fucking. It's heavy though. It'd be better when you're over here or something.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, I'll keep that in mind. Yeah, so I picked one of these up for 40 quid. It's great. You know, it bends like a lamp. It's kind of cool. And I've given it a bit of a clean. I've switched it on. It works fine. It doesn't have a proper keyboard, so I'm going to get the proper Apple keyboard in as well. And I just think it looks kind of retro cute. Huh? So tonight I've also bought a thing called an Auric Atmos.
I used to have an Auric One 48K.
A what?
Right, yeah, you know this, Greg. Yeah, I had an Auric back in the day. I wanted a Spectrum for so long, and we couldn't get one. W. Smith sold out all the time, and the salesman convinced my dad to get an Auric One, and it was okay, but wasn't many people who had one. But I enjoyed it.
They sold about 300,000, I think, of those originally.
They had built-in sound effects where you could put zap and...
On the keyboard, you could type zap, and it went zap.
Yeah.
Or explode, and it went explode, or boom. Yeah. So, yeah, built some built-in sound effects. Anyway, our buddies, Barry, they're over at the Retro Shed, Retro Shed group. I don't know if you've ever seen them on Facebook or anything. Yeah, they're the big members in the community, and they're very, 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 very much into their old retro stuff. He had put up that he had a Atmos, and it was in good nick. And
the Atmos had the better keyboard, didn't it? Because the Auric One had little white keys what stuck up a little bit.
That's right.
Yeah.
I would love one of those to get my hands on.
I was 15 when I got that.
Yeah. By the way, I do believe we should rename your man cave the Tate Retro Shed.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what it's turning into. It really is a little retro museum in Ballymena, Mexico.
I've paid a fair bit for this machine. It's in boxed. It has software. It has manuals and books with it. So he's done me a good deal. But it's it's three figures that's been paid for this beastie. So on that note, you're absolutely right, Greg. I have also purchased, and I have to collect them, two display cabinets that were used for 12-inch figures with glass shelves, all LED lit. And I think they're about 6 foot high, and I've got two of them. And I have to pick them this week. I think they're about 3 feet wide each, so that's 6 feet of these things. And I intend to get either the figures or some of the smaller consoles all on display. The far corner in here. So
I might investigate something like that too. I've been rethinking the configuration of stuff on my walls as well. So that's kind of sparked a little thing in my
Yeah. So I mean, also I mean a lot, because all of this stuff is coming up. I've invested in some tight, airtight sealed boxes, and I'm trying to get all the cables and everything's wrapped away and tidied away properly that I'm going to keep for my, you know, for the kids, because this stuff is an investment for me. Yes, it's lovely to have the main console maybe on display and switch it on once to see if it works and stuff like that, but really all the cables and games, they're going to be tucked away. These things are now 30, 40 odd years old, and some of them aren't really made for that, so I want to keep them dry and safe and keep them on display, I suppose, safely. But again, it's an investment somewhere down the line. So the prices of some of these things are getting crazy. So, yeah, so between vinyl, going back to vinyl and collecting all
the
old vinyl.
By the way, Boomer with you on the vinyl front. He said, I'm getting back into it as well.
Vinyl, I mean, I bought a new turntable a few months back there, a nice Audio Techniques beast up behind me, and I have my little valve tuner, with my little valves, that's all set up. And it's just something nice. Just you could argue that listening to a digital recording, a high quality one, is purer. But there's something about the crackle. There's something about the noise of the needle just dropping to the vinyl. You know, even the odd.
It has a very kind of pure sound to it. For you know, like, this is how it was meant to be.
And also, we've forgotten what music actually is because of MP3.
Well, we've also forgotten what music is because of the actual artists of today versus what we used to get.
You could. Look. I mean, this album here, Paul Simon Graceland. Okay, it's not hard rock, but there's a story to this whole album. There's a few tracks to lead you into it. There's that odd one in the middle, you know, and then we started again. And they were a story, and you read the back and the sleeves. The whole thing was an adventure. And now with Spotify and all this thing, I love Spotify. It's great, you know, it's brilliant. But you listen to individual songs rather than the whole thing. Like, you know, even with an album, you listen to it over as a kid over and over and over again. And even though those tracks you maybe didn't like, you listen to them and over and over. And you get a wee bit of that back again. So some old stuff is better. Maybe not for the quality of the old stuff, but just for the experience of the old stuff. And those consoles as well are tangible and lovely too. And I'm trying to protect some of that stuff. So, yeah, good work week. Buying stuff week of bits and pieces and stuff, and I was in a gym, spelt JIM.
All right, fair enough. You know what? I will go next. So we talk about background noise and things, audio quality. You may pick up on some noise on my end. We're actually having our house painted right now. So as we speak, I have guys outside my office window. It's a very weird feeling, though, because they have taped up and you know, kind of protected all of the windows within the house. So you can't see, no place in the house can I see outside anymore. It's just this, it feels like I'm in quarantine. So that makes for a little bit of an odd sensation when you're inside the house. But we're getting the house painted. We have also been doing quite a bit of shopping, more though on the kind of remaking our living room. So we have a new couch, we've got new end tables and coffee table. All of that has now been put in place. And,
It's table. Right. So did anything more happen about the table?
No. The emails and the outreach just fell into the ether. I think they just are delete, ignore.
Yeah, the file under B for bin.
Yeah, pretty much. But we're past that. We're past it. Unless we bring it up, we're past it. All right. So my parents came down Friday night. They had visited my sister in the hospital. Who is doing very well. She is getting released to home, which is fantastic.
That's good.
So, but they said they had gone down to see her. So they came back up. They stopped over Friday night, and Saturday afternoon, we hung out, went out for a nice lunch. And then they went on their way, and we met up with my neighbors, who also is our general contractor that did our kitchen. Really nice couple. My son was on sleepover, so we're like, well, let's go out. We'll go to, there's a local Mexican restaurant here called Casa Ramos that we really enjoy. And so we said, let's go visit Robin's.
One thing before we go further. You're talking about your mom and dad. Your mom looks...
Well, you look somewhat like your mom.
That looks definitely from your mom. When you said your temper comes from your dad, but yeah,
I get that. 100%.
Yeah. But your mom and you look fantastic together. You know, you guys have the same boobs, everything.
Yeah, Robin, I'm just saying. Anyway.
Okay, in the Mexican.
Yes. Huh? So we go to the Mexican restaurant, and we're having a really fun dinner, we're very well known at that restaurant. The staff likes us.
Everything. Yeah.
Say it again.
Pineapple upside down on the table.
Not yet. So also it just so happens that our neighbors, Chad and his wife, Megan, also very well known at this restaurant. And so we're sitting there and the owner of the restaurant comes by with 4 tequila shots. This is after we've already each had, two very large Cadillac margaritas. And so we decide to, you know, we have to accept them. We can't turn them away. So we drink shots. My wife does not drink tequila shots. We drank those. We had another round of margaritas. We got another round of tequila shots. And then... in the wisdom of all of this, we decided on our way back home, we weren't going to let the party end. So we stopped by our house, picked up a bunch of margarita, and then brought it over to their house. And let me just say, the rest of the night quickly went into a very weird, weird moment. I'm not sure what's being said, but that's fine. There was boobage. My neighbor's wife.
Say, explain. Weird moment. Like, here's your car keys in the middle of the table?
My neighbor's wife, she has had enhancements. So as we're talking about these enhancements. Yes.
Strap on?
Yeah. She's gotten a couple additional melons.
Okay, wow.
Additional, not largened. So she's got 4.
She's like that.
No, she's like that. They were enlarging, but she starts telling the story.
Mars. Yeah, get your ass to Mars. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, she didn't have a third one. That would have been interesting, even more so. But no, but she's talking about how she wanted them even bigger. Now, and then she just says, I wanted big porn tits. And I just am dying. And I'm like looking at my buddy Chad, who is a really nice guy. And he's just taking it all in stride. And then the next thing I know, his wife's climbing up on the table. She's dancing on the table. And I'm like, this is getting interesting.
Come on.
And then she just starts flashing her boobs the rest of the night on and off. I saw her. Yeah. And they're very big, for the record.
What?
Yeah. So that, of course, was good encouragement for me to get lucky last night. We came home. You know, it set the table properly, which is great. But we woke up this morning. Hard. It was a rough morning. My wife, in particular,
I misunderstood how you. I wake up that way most mornings, but I you had a right. different.
Yeah, meeting. No. I should have said rough. It was a rough morning. But fun night. Love them to death. I've seen you were
out there and stuff, and you thought you were like free and easy, and then you went. Of different level.
Yeah, exactly.
Martin in the chat says, "Have you got any photos?"
No, that would have been really obvious. But if you come hang out, we'll drink tequila, and I'm pretty sure it would happen again. At this point,
you need to sit pair of Mr. Zuckerberg's new glasses.
I know that's the next thing. Anyway, so yeah, good night. But also, I'm still myself. Slightly off, like hangover wasn't bad for me, but I've just felt slow all day long, if that makes sense.
So, okay, I've the one really important question, which is vital to this night.
Okay, I'm ready.
What did you have in the Mexican restaurant, food-wise?
Fajitas. Oh. Chicken and steak fajitas. I do fajitas actually remember eating.
Okay, fajitas.
Yeah. Fajitas, yes.
Have some fajitas. Fajitas. Some chips for the place.
We had chips as well. Yep, chips, salsa, fajitas. There you go.
Very good.
Yeah. But it was a great night. So, and then, of course, today, woke up, started watching football. It was a perfect day to just sit back and watch football. Then here, hanging out with my buddies. Brilliant. So, yeah. Mark, I need you to top this one, please.
All right. Yeah, well, I've had my first week in my new job. Really busy. It's a busy little garage for a sole trader. But yeah, he's been trading 30 years, so he's got a lot of customers and that. So yeah, busy week. Really enjoyed it. Really appreciated my weekend this weekend. I've not had a working weekend off for over a year now. Before in my previous job, obviously I had weekends off, and I never really appreciated them. You get in a rut, don't you? And you just think, right, weekend goes too quick. But after a year of not having weekends, I really appreciate this weekend. I've loved it. Having 2 days off together has been so unique to me for over a year now. I've got loads done this weekend. It's been really good. I've washed a car. I've done some sorting out in my garage, my tools I've got at home. I've polished the inside of a car as well and just done all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, really enjoyed my weekend.
But have you seen boobs?
Only on the missus. Okay. So, movie-wise, we watched The Conjuring, the new one, The Devil Made Me Do It, because we were huge Conjuring fans. We like The Conjuring and the Insidious movies, so that's good. I love the characters, Ed and Lorraine Warren. They're all based on real-life stuff. They're real people. And I like... is it Patrick Wilson who plays him? I like him as an actor. He's a really good actor. So yeah, that was good, about a demonic possession. So yeah, love all that shit.
I don't have such a hard time with those movies.
I don't believe in any of that shit, but I do like watching shit like that. So yeah,
it's scary movies for me. It just, right? Unless it's aliens.
Yeah,
I could do that.
Yeah. So yeah, so that was really good. TV wise, I talked about it before. We watched a series on Netflix called SWAT. With Shamar Moore, who was in Criminal Minds. So there was two seasons of that. Season 3 just started this week on Netflix. Yeah. So and Jenny's watched...
Clever Kids?
Yeah. What, sorry?
Clever Kids? Yeah.
No idea what that is.
Clever Kids?
Nope, lost me.
SWAT.
Oh, fucking... Right, okay. No, this is LAPD SWAT. Special
By the way,
weapons. And
there was just the Wayback Machine, real quickly. There was the original SWAT series, which that came out pre A-Team, but very similar kind of concept of they could not shoot to kill anybody. Yeah, so they would shoot all over the place. The bad guys were the worst shots in the world. Yeah, I used to love that show though.
Yeah. And then it's that time of year where I bought my car, so like early October last year, so all my stuff's due again, so my car tax is due and my insurance is due, so I've been spending this afternoon getting some insurance quotes. So my car tax, I might do 6 months actually, so, because last time I did it for a year, and so the car tax and the insurance is all due again at the same time, so I might do 6 months and split it out over the year.
What is car tax?
So, well, it's called vehicle excise duty over here. It's all based on emissions. So it's basically a tax on your car. So depending on how much emissions it puts out, mine's £220 a year I have to pay. Electric vehicles is zero.
Originally it was for the government to spend money on roads and stuff.
But years ago they changed it to VED.
Bigger the engine, the higher the polluting car, the more tax. Cars.
Big 4x4s, it's over £400 now. So,
My old crappy Jeep was £400. My crappy Jeep was worth about £500. So,
But luckily, being an old bastard now, luckily my car insurance is quite reasonable, so it's not too bad.
My problem is, it's funny that Judith's car was her tax and insurance was paid for by through fostering, and we've bought her car now, so now it's not, so it's privately owned, and we've neither of us have had insurance or tax ourselves for years. So I've never, because I've owned a few cars over the years, but I've always driven company vehicles.
Yeah.
So I've never had to worry about any of that sort of stuff. Mm. But all of a sudden now with Judith's car, it's insurance and don't like that.
Yeah, it's just a ball ache every year, just sorting it out. And you always get a renewal through, and it's always more than what you can get it for. Yeah. And then you ring them up and say, oh, well, I've got it cheaper somewhere else. I'm moving. And they'll say, oh, we can match it. Why didn't you fucking quote me that in the first place, you bastards?
Oh,
so that really pisses me off, so.
Pisses me off too, just for you. Fuck on, get pissed off together. Yeah. Let's do that in a conference call and get fucking pissed off, you insurance bastards. Yeah. That's a bit too much.
Why don't we just quote the cheapest price from the start? I mean, you're happy, aren't you? You're going to stay with them.
Yeah, because they want suckers. They want some suckers. They do.
And James and Liam, my nephews, they've been up this week. Liam has finished his basic training in the army. So he's got a few weeks off now before he goes back end of September for his combat medic side of his training. It was his birthday as well, his 20th birthday. So we went out Tuesday night for a meal. That was nice. All of us there. Jenny, my mum, the two boys, and Jason. So we had a good meal Tuesday night. They stayed until Friday, went on Friday. James brought his PlayStation 5 up. So we decided to go halves on Spider-Man Miles Morales. I'll talk about it later.
You had two PS5s in the one room? How is that
No, at my mum's. We had to get the hiab in and remove the window to crane it into the house. We can't get two in one house. That's silly. No? You're talking silly now. So, yeah, mine's in this house and James had his at my mum's house. Yeah. She had to install special, like, ceiling canopy things just to get it into the living room. So,
hey, sorry, I forgot to mention as well, Mark, when you're talking about watching stuff, Judith is now warming to it. How can you warm to it? But we're now on to season two of
The Wire.
Handmaid's
Tale. Yeah, Handmaid's Tale. Yeah, someone else has said it was. Tale. Oh, sorry, it was James said he started watching The Wire. Yeah, Handmaid's Tale. Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Wow, that's dark and powerful.
The second season goes really dark.
Yeah, so we just threw the episode there that she maybe had a miscarriage. But there's some really dark stuff for this. So I mean, the girls that are out in the wasteland, is that like because it hasn't been explained what doing?
Those have been naughty girls. They are clearing up the nuclear waste from the civil war between the U.S. Army and the Gilead soldiers. So, they use a lot of chemical and biological weapons, apparently. So, yeah, if you've been a naughty girl, you're sent out there to clear it up and you're more than likely going to die. It's a good program. The season 4's out now, isn't it? I still haven't seen that yet. I need to watch it.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. I'm surprised. Judith getting into it. I mean, it's not a happy program. It's not happy.
I can't remember her name now, but Yann, she's a piece of work, isn't she?
It was just funny, Judith and I, when we mentioned last night, at some stage she's going to come to a very bitter end somewhere down the line. That's the thing that's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, the commander's wife, I haven't looked it up, but she looks very familiar. She's been in stuff before.
Yeah, she was in, I mentioned last week, she was in the Tomorrow War. She was, do you know when Chris Pratt went to the future? That's his daughter. Yeah. She's been in a few things. She's very pretty, isn't she? She's very pretty. She's got a foreign sounding name.
No, I must find out where she's from because, Greg wasn't bored. He was just
checking totally bored.
No. He was just checking.
Absolutely. I was angry. I was so angry. I got up and I walked away. No, I had to do something.
He has a telescope set up looking into the neighbors.
Yeah, well, that's true. I needed to, reset the recording tape.
Check the boobs. Check those boobies.
Yvonne Trachowski.
That's easy for you to say.
Yeah. Yeah, so I can tell you what she's been in.
Yeah, tell me.
She's been in Gone, The Plex, The Canyon, I Love You Too, Matching Jack, Killer Elite, The Outback, The Guilt Trip, I, Frankenstein, Edge, Batman, Bad Blood, Manhattan Night, All I See Is You, He's Out There, The Predator, the new one, Angel of Mine, and The Tomorrow War.
No, she's just
not an impressive list.
I must have dated her once. I don't know what it was.
Probably Sarah Boobs.
Oh, yeah. She's also done voice acting, and she played Miranda in Mass Effect Galaxy and Mass Effect 2.
You've
she
seen
did
boobs.
The voice of Miranda. Now, I didn't know that. That is amazing.
I mean, that's what it is.
Oh, and Mass Effect 3.
She
did the voice of Miranda.
We did the wild thing just a
you
month
did.
Ago.
So
you
Robin, did sleep with
you
her.
Absolutely did.
He's not lying. Yeah, she's very pretty.
That's kind of cool. That is really good. Yeah, okay. So, that's that.
Yeah, that's been my week.
Okay. Well, then I think we should talk about some video games.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
Yeah, I'm with you, Robin. It sounded pretty low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know why. My Mac audio's low. Sorry.
Blame it on Apple. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about video games. We've got the games with gold. September, there's Warhammer Chaos Bane. It's available through the end of the month. You've got Mulaka. Just like saying that, Mulaka. That's available September 16th to the 15th of October, so just around the corner. Zone of Enders HD Collection. You have until the 15th to download that. And Samurai Showdown 2. Will then kick in on the 16th as well. PlayStation Plus members have Overcooked, All You Can Eat on PS5, Hitman 2, which is probably the best game out of all of these, on PS4, and then Predator Hunting Grounds. I'm just going to read it out like it is. Predator Hunting Grounds or Hunting Grounds on PS4. I thought for some reason that was a free-to-play game. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I thought
it was, yeah.
I'm but sure it's available on Xbox for PS4.
Unless you're thinking of the Wildlands version.
Might be. Possibly. I don't know.
Is it the one like had her pushy on the table? That one?
Maybe. Twitch Prime Games, Knockout City, Sam & Max Hit the Road, Candleman, The Complete Journey, Puzzle Agent, Secret Files 2, Purita's Cordis. Whatever that is. I never even heard of that game. My Big Tool Ups and Unmemory.
Yeah. Well done, Robin.
There you go. Well done, Robin. Tools up.
Well, he said he woke up hard this morning.
Stadia Pro. It is a thing. Darksiders 2, Little Big Workshop, and Wave Break. Epic Game Store. Autumn of Chef, which now I'm not starting to look at these. Now I'm like, did they mess with this one? Did they mess with this one? Saints Row the Third Remastered, and that'll be available until September 2nd. Well, it's already done. Never mind. You're fucked on Epic Store. Sorry. All right. Let's talk about what we've been playing. I have literally only played one game this past week, and that is Aliens Fireteam Elite. I got my Demolition character going. I went solo last night.
I was ready. I mean, I was ready to fire team up, but you just
Yeah, my fault. I had a very small window of opportunity. I threw it on. Yeah, in between boobage. I fired it up. It's the next campaign mission, which basically takes us down to the planet side, which was kind of a nice change. Okay. And I came quickly to the conclusion, if you're going to solo play, do not solo play with the demolition guy. I quickly was running out of ammo. I think he's a better support character than he's going to be able to survive on his own. I think Gunner is the character to play if you're going to be on your own.
Okay.
So there. Still enjoying it. Love this game. Love the music. Love the atmosphere. It's just been a really enjoyable experience. That's me. Mark, what about you?
I've played very briefly a game which was on PS Plus called Sonic Forces. Now, I love the Sonic games, the 2D ones. This one is a bit of a mishmash between 2D and 3D. And basically, I don't think this is a spoilers. Sonic's defeated by Eggman's new creation right at the beginning of the game. You create your own little unique character. Yeah, you create your own unique character, then you have to sort of like play through the levels. But playing these, it's on screen now, playing these 3D levels, it's fucking awful. A lot of it, it's like you don't really control it, and then when you do control it, it's fucking nightmare to get on track and in line with the rings and everything. And the enemies are coming at you that fast, you can't see to avoid them and jump. So, yeah, I quickly deleted it. It looks amazing, but gameplay-wise, fucking hell no.
See, Mark, when you say Sonic, I think of one thing, one event at EGX a few years back, and it was the new Sonic game that came out, and we queued
that pilch.
An hour. Yes, at least an hour to play. Yeah. Yes, and he got to the top of the queue, and then, like a fucking diva, walked right past everybody, and I don't want to play it. Walked right past. As a protest, he wasn't going to play that shit.
In fact, Sonic Mania is a pretty decent game. I've got it on the old Xbox. I think I picked it up in a sale. But yeah, Sonic Mania is a good game. I think it's like a love letter to Sonic's because it's made by the old developers of Sonic. But this I can't get on with it. It's a 3D one. People might love it, but it won't for me. So yeah, it quickly got deleted. So yeah, sorry about that.
Ah, well.
A bit more Days Gone, the PlayStation exclusive about the zombie apocalypse with the guys on the motorbike. Haven't got too further into it. I've done a few more missions in it. It's picking up a bit now. I've unlocked a couple more weapons. I've unlocked a crossbow now, which is pretty decent. I'm getting used to the stealth mechanics. There are infestation sites, what you have to clear out, and they're quite tough. I've managed to clear one of them out now. So you have to throw a Molotov at these nests. You clearly see it's a nest. It's like a building with loads of like twigs and that all blocking the building off. You throw a Molotov, set it on fire, and then all of a sudden a swarm comes running out.
So you're saying that their architectural uniqueness is not really unique then?
Very basic, yeah. Very best. Keys to Drafts Outlaw, apparently.
They could do the designer, maybe? Something like a woman's touch.
It's a bit filthy when you go inside. It definitely needs a woman's touch. But yeah, graphically, it's pretty good. The story, I haven't really got progress the story much. My companion, Boozer, is still laid up poorly in our camp. So
is that his last name? Is it a nickname?
Fuck knows.
Boozer.
Boozer, it's a weird name.
Okay.
Yeah, so... Yeah,
tell me he doesn't have an English accent.
No, it's American.
Okay.
Both got American accents, yeah. So.
Okay.
But yeah, that's about it, really. I've done a couple of side missions. Not really progressed that much. Like I said, I've unlocked a few things. So,
doesn't sound like you're really into it, Mark.
It hasn't got me hooked yet.
And I have a feeling you're going to get derailed now by the next game we're going to talk about, which means Days Gone is going to be gone.
So like The Last of Us and stuff, once I started them, I couldn't put them down. And yeah, sadly, like, as I mentioned earlier, I picked up another game this week, and that has now piqued my attention, which is Spider-Man Miles Morales. So we just got the sort of like normal version. You can buy the ultimate version where you get the original Spider-Man as well, which is a PS5 version. But yeah, £20 more, and we've already played it. We've got the PS4 version, so we didn't see the point in buying that version. I ain't got the time to play it all over again anyway. I've already played it. But yeah, Miles Morales, he featured right at the end of the original game, and I'm not a huge comic book fan. I do love the Marvel Universe and the DC Universe in the movie sense, but I'm not into it in the comic wise, so I didn't really know Miles Morales until the last game. I had to look him up and stuff, but yeah, so far it's really good. So it's got his backstory, and you get some of his backstory in the previous game anyway, because his dad's in it. He's quite a prominent character at the beginning. He gets bit by the same radioactive spider, coincidence much, and Peter Parker's taking him under his wing. Peter Parker's now off to Europe, which I presume is the movie, Far From Home. So he's gone to Europe with MJ and everyone and his school. So he's left Miles Morales in charge to look after New York while he's away. But then some shit goes down. So, yeah, it's getting really good. It's got the same tropes as the original Spider-Man. So you have the sporadic crimes happening throughout the city. When you do that, you collect accolade tokens, and you use them tokens to level up your gadgets and your gear and your suit. There's a shit ton of suits to unlock, as like in the first game. But Miles has got an extra weapon. So when he's had his radioactive shit, whatever, he's acquired what's called Venom Power. So he has this like bioelectrical energy, and he can concentrate that once it's built up after a combo. And when he punches him, it gets all like yellow electricity, and it like makes his punches and stuff like that really, really powerful. And the really good finishing moves and stuff. So yeah, that's a nice little added touch.
Does he get the kiss cursed and dunced in the rain?
No, that was Peter. This is Miles.
How do the puddles look?
I've not really noticed. Well, it's winter time. It's Christmas time, so there's a lot of snow, and the snow effects are really good. So getting onto the technical side of the game, there's three different graphics modes. There's performance mode, which is full 4K ray tracing the works, but it's only 30 frames a second. So okay. When you're spinning and swinging through the city, 30 frames, it's like playing a PS4 version. It doesn't cut it for me. Now, there was originally just the performance mode, which is 60 frames a second, but not 4K. Mm-hmm. But then, it's fair now for me, but originally they patched in a performance RT mode. So now you can get 60 frames a second and ray tracing. But they do reduce population density and a few other little tricks to compensate. And that is a mode I'm using, and it is so much better. The 60 frames a second when you're swinging around the city make it so much easier on the eye. Because normally I didn't have a problem with 30 frames a second, but now I'm getting used to 60 frames a second on the Xbox and stuff. You do notice this with the eyes, with the flicker and stuff. But yeah, with the speed of the swinging, the 60 frames makes a huge difference. And the ray tracing mode on the performance mode, it works really well. I haven't really noticed a population density decrease or anything. So, yeah, I'm very, very happy graphically. The audio's fantastic. It's just so far, I'm not far into it. But, yeah, so far it's a superb game. And I know it's going to get me hooked because I loved the original PlayStation Spider-Man on PS4.
Rick, what do you think about swinging with 60 frames?
I think that's probably the appropriate speed. I think if you try to go any less than that, you're going to have some potential, you know, hiccups.
Yeah.
Boobage.
Yeah, boobage.
That's good.
I still have very impressed.
First Spider-Man game to finish, Mark.
Yeah.
And it's good, but it's
I loved it. And I know Mike Chin loved the original Spider-Man on PS4.
Yeah.
I think it was in my top five. I think, did it come out the same year as The God of War, or might be in the year after? I can't remember. But yeah, I know it's in the top five.
We're going to be talking a lot about Insomniac in just a few.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, so yeah, we'll get into that. Yeah, the Spider-Man 2, yeah.
Cool.
Looks so good.
All right.
Yeah, so very impressed with it so far. And I'm sure I'm going to be playing a lot of this because I've been doing a lot of side missions to get the tokens to unlock the extra gadgets. So, yeah, you have to play the side missions.
Did we? More importantly, did we discuss your color-coded headphones?
What?
I've had these ages ago.
So these are I can't remember what they are.
They're not tweakies.
Yeah, so these are the Razors, and these are they're mainly PC ones, because you get the 7.1 surround software that, but you can use it on the Xbox. But for the Xbox now, I've got the Xbox wireless ones, which I fucking love. These are superb. So I use these on the PC now.
And you match them to your chair.
Yeah. And on the PlayStation, I use my old Xbox headset, which are the Playtronics rigs. These are fantastic as well. So I've got more headphones to shake a stick up, so...
Yes, you do. I don't know how to say that other than okay.
Yeah, the tin cups are still there.
Love the tin cups.
Love those.
Yeah, still there. The Twiggy Twiggies are still here. But it's got a dodgy wire again. That I did fix it, but it started to crackle again. So
we should start a fundraiser or something to give them save the Twiggies.
Yeah.
Save the Twiggies.
Just on a side note, I am a rebel. When I charge up my PlayStation 5 controller, I use my PC to charge it with my Halo light.
Oh, my God.
You can't see it, but the Halo light-up cable. So I'm charging the PlayStation controller with a Halo cable and a PC port. So take that, Sony fanboys.
Microsoft is going to send a virus into your controller. all right. Very good. Robin, talk to me about playing with your handheld.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, again, it's been a crazy week. And I did intend, let's talk about the thing that I have ordered, the Steam thing here. Now, although, I was in my hotel room and I actually looked at the TV in the room that could I access the HDMI port in it or whatever. And I could this particular one because some, they're sort of buried in and you can't get to it.
Was this before or after you checked out the available porn?
No, I didn't look at the porn at all. I mean, the best porn isn't on the hotel. You have to explain that bill somewhere. And even though they say they don't name it,
it's totally obvious for the record.
So, you bring a laptop for that. So I had a laptop. The Wi-Fi was good.
Speaking from experience there, really.
A movie or two. Yes, of course. I didn't bring any gaming stuff with me. I was quite tired. By the time I got finished with the gym and stuff, I got there and I went out to buy some champagne for the client the next day. It was about 9:30 before I was stopping. So I just sort of lay on the bed and watched a movie. But anyway, just today, I bought this Atari. It's Atari Blaze, it's called. It's the handheld, and it has about 50 original Atari Woody games on it. It does look cool. Lovely. It is a woody little Atari.
Yeah. Nice wood plastic finish.
Yeah.
What games does he have? He's got the original Space Invaders and Pac-Man and stuff.
It doesn't have Space Invaders on
the Sacrilege. I love the original Space Invaders.
It does have Pac-Man. It has Adventure. It has Asteroids.
Missile Command.
Missile Command it has.
How does it look on screen? Is it a decent...
Can you
back it up a little? There you go.
I've got the original 2600 box art to cover.
Yeah, which is quite nice. You flick through these here. So there's a lot of, there's 13 pages, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on a page. So there's 50 or 60 games on it. And then you can stick in an SD card and add even more of the little ROMs. But I don't honestly know why you would, because they're all fucking shit.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. There's not one fucking good game here. It's amazing as kids what we put up with Atari 2600.
Yeah.
It was fucking torture, but we did it anyway. Out of all of the ones, and it must have been through about 20 of them this afternoon, Asteroids is actually playable.
Yeah. Has he got Pitfall?
You know, things like Pitfall, Pac-Man, Planet Smashers.
I would suspect.
It's not Pitfall. The original Pitfall is not on this.
Oh, God. That was... such a horrible... The sound of that game is just horrible.
They're awful. Even trying to play Pac-Man. How do you go wrong with Pac-Man? It's a nightmare.
Well, the Pac-Man, if I recall, the Pac-Man on the Atari 2600, you had, like, the Pac-Man... the actual Pac-Man character just, like, stayed in one position. Yeah. And it just would go up, you know...
Yeah, it didn't chomp, the maze. Didn't chomp or anything, did it? No.
Didn't chomp anything.
Just changed direction, did it?
He does chomp. I'm playing it right now. He does chomp. But the ghosts sort of flash. It's awful.
Horrible.
It's awful. Where is it? There we go. If we can get that up there. I don't know. It's awful. Absolutely awful. But it's nostalgic.
I loved it.
we all grew up on that, didn't we? So.
Yeah. I mean, and you remember the joysticks that kept on breaking and they had the little click sensors.
Creak, didn't they?
Yeah.
And we had the one button on them.
And looking back, because the cartridges were 50 quid each. I mean, they were expensive for that shit, you know. That's what I did this afternoon. I'm sorry.
had you no played game with your handheld. It's okay.
What game I play with my handheld? Google right. Dates. What about you, Greg DeLacy?
We covered it. Fireteam Elite. That was it. It's been a quiet week, but I think we should talk about news now.
Yeah, Marco.
Here is the fucking news.
Mark is on it, even if I may not be. All right. There was only one big thing that happened this past week, and that was that Sony had their event. So I have the kind of the full Sony event recap. I'm just going to walk through everything. We all, I think, have seen it. Robin, have you seen the event? No, you have not. But Mark and I kind of watched it live.
I watched the WhatsApp feed. It was good fun.
Okay. So the event started off a little odd to me.
Yeah, so fucking don't get what that opening was.
So yeah,
is it a new chess game, or is it just a fucking thing saying play with no limits or whatever? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, we're
Peter
going nuts.
Fucking cream in his pants when watching this.
Yeah, yeah, we're thinking it's a legitimate game. It just turns out they started their event with an advertisement. So it was just weird how they presented, because they normally an event starts up and they maybe they'll have kind of a pre-show ad right before the time ticker goes off. But once you get into the event, usually it's they might have a little intro sequence, but they get into games. They get, this was an ad. So there was that.
Had funky music with it, though. Sounded good.
It was a good ad, I guess, if you think about it that way. But again, we're trying to figure out what game this is.
Yeah.
And the whole time, and then suddenly it just dawned on me. I'm like, this is not a game at all. This is just an ad for all of their games and how they play, so to speak. So anyway, so we get past the city, the city where play has no limits. That's, I guess, their new slogan. And then we get into proper games, and they start us off with a great look at Gran Turismo 7. It's arriving on PS5 and PS4 March 4th, 2022. It looks like, at least from my impression of what we saw, it's going to be kind of a mix of maybe a little Horizon and traditional Gran Turismo. Because I definitely saw they still have the licensing stuff. You're still doing things to kind of earn your way into higher tiers. But they do have this big kind of open world map.
You don't know if that's just to select the different track, because all the races were on. Yeah, the previous ones had that as well, but you do race on tracks. There's no street racing like in Horizon.
Okay,
I might be wrong, but
my cursory glance at it, I thought maybe they're going the Horizon direction with this, or at least adding a little bit of that element into it. But apparently
they
not. It looks
good. They need something different.
Yeah, I mean it looks good, but they always look good. So. It definitely looks like they are introducing snow, rain. You're going to have all kinds of different weather conditions within this game for sure. Cause I most certainly saw at least one track where there was snow on the ground. So I think that will carry on, and, a decent, strong, start, if you will. It's a game we knew was coming, but this is really our first proper look at it, and it's coming next year. Then we got a first look at God of War Ragnarok. So again, this is a game that they had already really announced, so we have known about it for some time. We hadn't seen it. And I think for the most part, Mark, you and I, it looks like God of War.
Yeah, and I noticed on social media, I don't really use Twitter anymore, but on Facebook, on the Sony Facebook page, a lot of people are criticizing it for looking like The Last God of War, but that's the winning formula. What do they expect?
Yeah, I think people wanted to see a PS5 God of War. Mm. And this is a cross-generation game. So
we'll have the enhancements like 60 frames and ray tracing, won't it? So.
Right.
It's going to be in the woods.
It will.
My favorite character's back, the talking head. I can't remember his name. Mimia, the talking head. That's back. I love that character. It's looking good. This is a
it looks good. It looks good. It looks like God of War, which, I don't mean that to sound like a slight. It's not. It looks good. It looks like God of War, which I think is what most people wanted. It was, you know, kind of a return. Looks like they're introducing a new young female character.
Boy.
So you're going to get boy and girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but curiously, within their conversations post show, so after the Sony event happened, they did have this kind of post, real quick developer kind of talk. And one of the interesting things I heard, I don't know if it was Herman Hulst that was talking about, but he talked about how, well, for this series of God of War, we wanted to cap it off with, and he's kind of started getting it, but it was the way he framed it. It was like, we're doing God of War in trilogies, and there'll be a new God of War trilogy set in a new setting in the future. Like, this will end the Viking one.
But isn't this the second set in the Norse mythology? It's not the third. So how is it?
I don't know.
How is it a trilogy?
I your guess is as good as mine. Maybe that was a hint at this is going to, you know, there'll be a third game coming. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But the way he made it sound to me, it was like they're setting up God of War to go kind of in three game chunks.
Yeah.
And that they'll take God of War into kind of like what they did this last time. They got away from the Greek mythology into the Viking mythology. And maybe next you're going to have God of War China.
I like God of War Liverpool.
God of War Liverpool. Sure. Why not?
Calm down, boy.
I don't know if they gave a date on this. I'm pretty sure it's next year. I just don't think they gave an official date. Yeah. Then we saw.
Why does the word Ragnarok have a little bunny in it?
Because I think that's how you're supposed to spell it. I don't know.
Okay.
With a bunny. Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection coming to PS5 and PC. This is basically, you know, a remastered version for the, it's not a full collection, by the way.
Collection.
Yeah. And then Tachia, I think is, the name of this game.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know what to say about this game other than, okay. That was my impression. It didn't excite me.
Inspired by New Caledonia.
Yeah.
I am a lumberjack and I am okay.
We were then treated to a little bit of an extended look at Deathloop. And I will say I liked this kind of extended look at Deathloop. I think it gave a little bit more... it helped flesh out the story a little bit better and what you're going to be doing. It's a game that is coming out, I think, in just a couple of weeks. Yeah. It's a September release. I know that. So,
anyway. Never release a serial call.
I think, Tuesday, I think, isn't it?
Oh, well, there you go.
Or it was out last Tuesday, one of the other.
It for sure is coming in September. If not already, it will be in September. Then we had Blood Hunt coming to the PlayStation 5. This was a vampire-like game.
Yeah, seemed just multiplayer as well, didn't it?
Right. Multiplayer siege-like. And there's a couple games like this that we've seen now. Then
it showed you different classes of vampire as well with different abilities. If it's just multiplayer, I'd rather have a campaign.
And I'll say, at this point for the show, I was kind of like, okay. I wasn't overly hyped by a lot of what I was seeing. It was kind of expected stuff and maybe, you know, and stuff that I just wasn't necessarily interested in, like Tachia. We saw Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. This is a game I'm very excited for just because I love the Guardians of the Galaxy universe. And so that game looks good to me. It's a multi-platform game. So again, I think we're kind of along this, the hype train kind of in the middle here, got a little bit derailed. Ghostwire Tokyo, that was then shown off. Another game that we've known about, wasn't a big surprise. I mean, it still looks great. It looks like it's going to be very freaky. And so, yeah, we'll see. I'm watching Robin go through and try to make his little edits and have his fun. I see what he's doing there. But we got GTA. So the GTA Online coming to PS5.
Yeah, new game for your PS5. Welcome to 2013. Fuck's sake, man.
Yeah. Well, and right on the heels of that, then we got the remastered Alan Wake. And it's not a re...
Well, this never came to PlayStation, so I think that's why a lot of PlayStation fans are excited.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's exciting that it's coming for PlayStation fans, for sure. But it looked dated. I don't care. I know they said it's remastered. Mm. To me, this game is not going to age well. It's not a Mass Effect Legacy kind of treatment. I just think they're...
You're right, Greg. I mean, if they had a fucking mobile phone with maybe, and they were sharing their location on each phone, it would have saved a lot of shit, wouldn't it? They wouldn't have to go through forests, torches, and all that stuff. None of that tractor nonsense, eh, Mark?
I didn't really get on with it. I played it, and it was enjoyable to an extent, but I didn't rate it as much as some people. Some people were going nuts over it. I didn't rate it. I thought the end boss was just fucking stupid.
It was a bit stupid. We then got Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Extraction. Again, we've known this game's coming. Yeah. I have a hard time getting excited for this because really, when you really look at Rainbow Six Extraction, it is just Rainbow Six Siege with different character skins and some different abilities, which is all Rainbow Six Siege was.
Aliens? Isn't this the one with the aliens?
It's the one with the aliens. But you're playing aliens versus humans. The aliens have, it's just their human counterparts in alien form.
Well, in Rainbow Six Siege, about 18 months ago, 2 years ago, they did a season where this was a thing. This was a downloadable optional thing. And I remember playing this with Kim, Nicole, and Sarah on the PlayStation 4 version. And we played this, and it was fucking rock hard. The enemies were tough as fuck. They're making it into a full game now. So this could quite easily be just being an add-on for Siege, but they're making it a full game.
We'll see. Maybe they've given it a nice extra coat of polish to where it'll look very next gen, and that'll be exciting for that. From there, we got, and this is, I think, right about here is when
quite interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, the show took a good turn. So we got, Forspoken?
Forspoken, yeah. So you thought this was the Hogwarts Legacy thing at first.
Yeah, for sure. I was like, is this Hogwarts Legacy? So Forspoken, it looks very Harry Potter-esque.
Magical and fantasy, yeah. But this looked pretty decent. I was quite impressed with this.
It did. We've got that. Then we got the announcement of Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
Boobs?
Boobs. Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, it feels like it wants to be different than Borderlands.
Yeah.
But
it's trying to throw in a D&D element to it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's trying to throw this D&D element, but then I just kept getting that same feeling of, no, it's just really Borderlands.
Oh.
I don't know what to think about this.
These really milked Borderlands.
Yeah. And then from there we got Project Eve, which looks.
Now this looked fucking amazing.
Yeah. This looks pretty interesting.
That's the one with the long hair, and we thought at first it was a Bayonetta, but it's different.
Yeah, it looks very Bayonetta-esque. Yeah.
She had tightest fitting suits on you could imagine. Yeah. She had no cellulite, put it that way.
Well, at least from what we could tell.
Yeah.
Then we got the announcement of
boobs in that one.
It's definitely boobs in that one. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake. So this is interesting the way they worded this because they said, the remake was made on PlayStation 5. But I don't believe it is exclusive to PlayStation 5. Yeah. I know for sure it's coming to PC. I don't know about other consoles, but it was very oddly worded. But 100% Sony is helping with at least the initial push on this game. And it's a big win for Sony. It's a beloved franchise that was something that was on, Xbox back in the day. It's where it was kind of birthed. And so It's a great win and a great it.
And has it been made from the ground up graphically and everything?
That's my understanding. And so from that standpoint, I'm kind of coming around on being excited for this game. At first, I wasn't. I was like, okay, another, you know, kind of remaster. But then I realized, no, this is a remake. And so that has me a little bit more excited for this game. It's been quite some time since I played the original. So, it'll feel fresh going in, especially with the new the new look.
A lot of people missed that. Very good.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, so, that was a thing for them. It was nice to hear new stuff. I mean, yeah. Again, we're coming out of Chinese virus, so it's nice that new things are starting to appear.
And then, and this is, I think, at this point then, Sony goes into kind of their wrapping up of the show, but it's a series of kind of announcements. One, we get a new Wolverine game. They very light on detail on this, but it's Insomniac is making a Marvel Wolverine game.
Okay.
This obviously has everybody's interest because of Insomniac's great detail and work on Spider-Man. So Wolverine, that's a big win also, if you ask me, in that Sony has solidified this partnership with Marvel and Disney, allowing it to happen to get these exclusives from the Marvel Universe into Insomniac to make these games. So Wolverine coming. We don't know when. Pretty sure it's a long ways off because all we saw really was a trailer of a bar scene and Wolverine's claws coming out of his arm. Then we were treated to Spider-Man 2, which is coming, and that looks like it's going to be a little bit of that multiverse, because you saw the two different Spider-Man characters side by side. I'm assuming there's going to be some co-op play to this, but it looked like it was Miles Morales with Spider-Man as they were confronting Carnage.
Yep, or even Venom. I'm not sure which one it is yet.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember, was there anything after this, Mark? Do we?
No, that they did give a date of approximately 2023 for Spider-Man 2. So.
Okay. But so they started pretty good, had a little bit of a lull, if you ask me, with a lot of kind of feeling of we're getting old gen remasters, but then they really finished strong. I think it was a really good event for Sony. And certainly the Sony fan base was very excited for, I think, a lot of what they saw. What were your thoughts, Mark? I mean, does this have you excited for the PS5?
Well, I was disappointed there was nothing shown about Horizon Forbidden West. Although they did show some of it afterwards in the talky bit afterwards on the after show. But yeah, that's one of the games I'm mega hyped for, because the underwater sequences and that just looks absolutely fucking immense. That Eve game, what was it? Project Eve, that looks fucking ace. The Forsaken, that looks Forspoken, sorry. Obviously Spider-Man 2 and Wolverine. The rest of it, I was disappointed with that, the number of fucking remakes. I called it right from the beginning. I said this is going to be full of fucking remakes, and it was. Yeah, it was interesting enough. Obviously, God of War. That's a given. So pretty decent, really. Yeah, I'm sure it catered for the full spectrum of PlayStation fans, because it had your JRPGs in there, it had your main action, you had your driving. So it had all bases covered. It was a very safe event, I think.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Safe is a good word for it. But they had some good, exciting things in there for sure. One thing, as I'm looking at this list now, it just dawned on me. There was a decided lack of indie.
Yeah.
I mean, no indie in this game, in the showcase at all. And it's such a, you know, Sony at the beginning of the PS4 was all about indies. And they were the big supporters and proponents of that. And it really feels like the indie game has kind of fallen off of Sony's radar.
Still there.
I mean, I'm sure it's still there. Don't get me wrong, but it's not something that they are actively.
But they only had maybe they only had 40 minutes to showcase they can't show everything, can they?
Yeah. No. Okay. Well, Why 40 minutes? Why not just make it 45 minutes to give us a 5-minute trailer of some indie games? Very curious. What was that?
46 minutes, even better. 46 and a half. Like, what was that, you know, the fucking 5-minute abs? I mean, let's do the 5-minute abs, make a fortune. You know?
Yeah, so, but... Yeah,
I mean, they're not limited. They didn't have a hall. They didn't have a, you know, they could have went for 2 hours and it wouldn't have cost them any more money apart from getting people to hang around a bit longer.
Well, so, and I think this is Sony's approach now. And as I really kind of start to think back on what we've seen from Sony, we have the big events like this are very focused on AAA and first party. Yep. The showcase events seem to have a little bit more of that indie feel. And maybe that's how they're not the showcase. What do they call the Sony events? Like a direct.
Yeah, the play days. I can't even play something in it.
Yeah, but so maybe that's the direction they're going. They're just saving these big events are going to be really focused in on that AAA premium experience, because Sony definitely is getting behind that. They want to be known for that. That is, you know, their playbook. It's we give you big third person action.
State of play. That was it.
State of play. Yes, there you go.
Well, how much it cost to upgrade each game? Yeah.
So we're not going there. Well, they did. They came out, and by the way, that has been like definitively said moving forward. Jim Ryan said any upgrade will be $10. So you will always have to pay for, if you have a PS4 version to upgrade it to a PS5, you will pay $10.
The PS4 version, PS5 version of God of War will not be interchangeable. You have to pay full for each.
Right.
They've already said that.
Yep. But so that was the event. I mean, I was excited. I'm glad we got some things from Sony out now finally, because they were quiet all summer long. Fans definitely were anxious. And it was a good show. It really was. I mean, I'd give it a good B+.
Mm. Yeah, it was decent.
I thought it was brilliant from what I've seen of it.
All right. Robin.
Just wanted to quickly mention the new Matrix trailer.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That'll be a perfect segue into the new releases.
Mm.
Well done.
Oh, my God. I
new Matrix
had
looks,
a sex Wii in my pants when I saw that.
Looks so good.
Did you? I'm not sure about it, Mark.
Oh,
yes, I love the Matrix. And I watched the Matrix a lot. I mean, the first Matrix, I probably am in triple figures about how many times I've watched that movie. Regularly, I'll put it on in my headphones at nighttime and go to bed listening to it. And over the last couple of weeks, I've watched the second two, which maybe a dozen times each, probably 2 and 3, and finished off again with the third one. And it's a load of fucking pants, that third movie is. It's just, it's up its own ass, it's too long, it's badly edited, the story is convoluted, and it's just stupid.
The first game is just a masterpiece.
First Matrix movie is perfect. They didn't overdo the graphics and stuff like that there. When the effects they used were used really sparingly and really, really well. Trinity's ass and those trousers. Yeah. Fuck me. She didn't really have boobs. So, yes, I'm looking forward to this older guy that's coming back in. If you haven't watched the trailer, watch it.
One fucking huge question, though.
Yeah. How did they get Johnny Silverhand from Cyberpunk?
Didn't Neo fucking die in 3? He died to save the fucking thing, didn't he?
No,
he carried his body at the end of it.
He was dead. He was just brought into the machine or brought in. So he wasn't definitively dead.
Here's my question, because as I watched this trailer, and I haven't seen anything written up on it, so I literally don't know. But what I first was seeing, I'm like, this seems like they're just redoing the first movie.
Yeah, because he can't remember he's the chosen one or anything, can he?
But so obviously they're not totally just redoing the first movie, because they're giving it a spin of reliving the experiences of the first movie.
And you know what's the biggest mindfuck? It just looks like John Wick. All I can see is John Wick in the Matrix.
Yeah, it's like John Wick.
All I see is
it should
John
have at least
Silverhand.
Shaved his beard, but yeah.
You know, we meet Trinity again, and they're all a little bit older and stuff like that there.
Right.
Do you know what? I just wanted to mention
and
it,
the agents are big, back in it as well. So,
yeah. Big thing. I just hope all these things are. It's a reason. Yeah. You know, it's a cash cow. There's been a long enough time now.
It's a shame we couldn't get Lawrence Fishburne to do Morpheus again, though. It's a new actor for Morpheus.
Yeah,
it looks like him. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the new Bond movie at the end of the month. I'll definitely go to the cinema and see it, too. Yeah. But, yes, The Matrix, especially, I needed to mention, because it lives in our world. So
it does. So, okay. Robin, what else can we look forward to this upcoming week in terms of new things?
Well, between today and the end of the week, you've got Cruise and Blast on the Switch on the September the 14th, Death Loop. As I said earlier on, they'll never make a serial called Death Loops. It's on the PlayStation 5 and PC. You've got Flynn, Son of Crimson on everything on September the 15th, Eastward on Switch and PC, 16, Skate Bird on pretty much everything apart from PlayStation on the 16th, Aragami 2 on the everything on the 17th, and Ni no Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom on the Switch, and Tomb on PlayStation 5, Switch, and PC rounds up your week on September the 17th. So games are coming out.
They are. We are in the swing of it, heading into the holidays now. Obviously, Deathloop is out, as you mentioned, Mark, on Tuesday.
Yeah, it was Tuesday. I wasn't sure if it was last Tuesday or this Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm very, very curious to see how the reception is for that game. It's going to also be interesting to see if there is backlash towards the game because Bethesda is now a Microsoft studio. Yeah. And, of course, this is the timed exclusive on PlayStation 5.
Deathloop, is it free to play?
No.
It's full price.
It is a Fortnite style quid job, isn't it? Is there a story mode with it, or is
No, it's a full on campaign. It's not Fortnite at all.
Oh, I thought it was that sort of multiplayer type of thing. No.
Okay. You're basically going about this universe that's more or less Groundhog Day. You're reliving the same day over and over again. Not to be misconstrued with 12 minutes, but you have to go and kill certain contracts to try and solve the mystery of how to get out of the loop that you're in.
I suppose that where I was going to there is that sort of Fortnite PUBG game. You can't charge for those any longer, or very, very little for them. Well, I suppose that rolls us into Victory Achieved then, Greg.
It does. We've said nicely.
Victory Achieved is this thing. It's a competition. All you do is you finish your game to the credits, and you put a hashtag Victory Achieved on a tweet and send it to @OC_podcast, a photograph of yourself and the credits in the background of the game you complete, and you get entered into a draw to win $20 or 15 quid to buy a game. It's cool. This draw runs now until the end of November, and we only had one entry this week.
Just one.
We got to talk about Kevin Westerman. Yeah, FNK_25 on Twitter. The beard.
The beard. Yeah, we've got Pete's beard. Very impressive.
Oh, my
Pete's got goodness. Competition.
It is so good. It's trimmed. He had beard oil. You can forgive. He probably has ginger pubes, but it's perfectly groomed beard. There's a bit of ginger in there, but it's really good. Pete, this is what you need from a beard.
Such a grey streak as well for the mature man.
Good man. It's like, this is a man. This is not a boy, Pete. So
he's just looking into the lens saying, I'm a fucking man.
I don't need to smile in this program. I am. So, if you can look that tweet up, if you look up at the OC Podcast Twitter feed, you'll see that photograph. And he finished The Artful Escape and really enjoyed it. He said, what a masterpiece. He smiled through the entire game. That's why he couldn't smile in the photograph. Maybe he was smiling, and it was under his second chin. And it's a game of the year and for him. And well done. So get your entries in, and we'll make you famous. Mark, would you play the sound of Greg cheering on Vic the Tory with cheese?
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
I like to cheer on cheese. I do. All right. Excellent. Thank you, Robin, for that. Sadly, that means we are more or less at the end of the show. The good news is we will be back. We'll be back next week. Same time, same bat channel. We're there doing what we do, talking with you, enjoying video games as well as life. Check us out on Twitter at @OC_podcast, or you can find us on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com. And of course, you could email us too. We'll check email once every 2-3 years, but you can email us. We'll find it eventually. I want to give real quickly shout out to Kim Woods. Her cat Crusher has moved on, and so we know she loved that cat dearly. So
it's a dead cat. It is left this mortal toil.
Yes, it has. Anyway, Kim, we're here for you, both in spirit and in spirit. That's it. Robin has taken out enough cats to beyond the wanted list. All right, Mark.
Put up about cats. We were talking about cats.
Yes.
So I put this post up. This is on my local village chat group, they tease me, people. They do tease me about you know, knocking my cat over, or the neighbor knocking the cat over. You know, it's a thing we say. But there was a post on my local community Facebook group about a deceased grey cat just past chapel going next to my village. And I wondered how this deceased grey cat passed the chapel. So it's not just me. We're all Egypts around here. So anyway, knocking things over. I'm sorry, Kim, about your cat.
Oh, all right, Mark, say something nice, please.
Big shout out to Kim. We love Kim so much, and just sorry to hear about Crusher. The Joysticks and Chills, guys. So now I've got a daily commute again. I've got a 20-minute commute each way. I can start listening to podcasts again. I've got such a backlog. So I'm up to date on ours, and I've started getting a backlog rundown now on Joysticks and Chill and Veteran Gamers are next. So I've been catching up on Joysticks and Chill, and it's great to hear them guys again. Love them guys. When I came back to this show many moons ago, like 2 months ago, Jay gave me a shout out, and I've only just heard it. So thanks, Jay. A bit belated, but yeah, I just love those guys. A big shout out to Gary D. Felice, because I know this weekend has meant so much to him with the anniversary. I know it's something very close to him. My thoughts are with you, Gary, because he was right in the thick of it. So yeah, much love to and all the people affected by that tragedy. And also, it's all bad news this week. Jim Martin, sadly, his mum passed away the other day. So yeah, big thoughts to Jim. Sorry to hear about your loss. And yeah, we're here if you ever want to chat. Robin, how about you?
Yeah, I was speaking of 9/11. I watched a really good documentary the other night.
Yeah, did you say on Wednesday night? Yeah, it was so... 20 years later, and I still fucking cried my eye. I'm fucking 50-odd-year-old man. Yeah. I cried my fucking eyes out. 20 years later, all them emotions came back. It was awful. It's a great documentary, though, wasn't it? It was all proper footage captured by the people and that, yeah.
Okay, well, I didn't watch that one.
Oh, did you? Sorry. It was on ITV on Wednesday night. Yeah. No, it was fantastic.
Mine was the one about conspiracy theories that it was all... It was called The Day in the Bunker. It was followed George Bush around that whole day from the moment he got up all the day. And it was really, really interesting. Condoleezza Rice, all the key players. And everybody.
Were they interviewing him as well?
Yeah, it was really good.
I watched that. Yes, very good.
Yes, actually went up in my estimation. It was very, very good. It was what I watched. Yeah, wow. You're right, Mark. I mean, I found myself choking up through that and as well, and just the different news and everybody. It's like, not the same. You could say when Elvis died, if you're old enough to remember that. I remember I was only a kid, but I remember where I was. And I remember exactly where I was.
Yeah, me too.
Watching that second horror happen live. Yeah. I had my own business. I had a girl who was my head of my design department from California, and we were working with a team from downtown Manhattan, a web development company at the time, sharing work and files, stuff back and forward. And I just found the fear and terror of everyone. I remember phoning my brother in London to see, make sure he was okay, and you know, get home, get out of the city. Everybody thought that was it.
Yeah, and it was awful.
Yeah, and the fucking talking to the fuckers now as if they're fucking friends. Yeah. Sorry, excuse me. Sorry.
I was working at working at Dewsbury at the time, and one of the paramedics came down and said, "You've got to come and see this." So me and the guy I was working with ran upstairs to the paramedics mess room just after the first plane had hit. We were watching that, and then we saw the fucking second plane hit. And we were just fucking gobsmacked. And then obviously they came down, and that was just. I remember driving home that night, and all the radio stations in the UK just went off. Well, didn't go off air, but we just played soft music for like 3 or 4 days solid. And I remember driving home, fucking crying all the way home. It hit that hard, and we're fucking other side of the Atlantic, so I don't know how it affected you guys over there. But oh my god, such a fucking awful thing. So many people.
It was definitely surreal. You felt so vulnerable. I think that's probably the best way to describe it. You know, and big shout out to Gary DeFelice.
Yeah.
Only because Gary worked in downtown.
Yeah, he worked in the World Trade Center. Yeah.
Yeah, he was literally in downtown when all of that went down. So he is going to forever have these images of those days and the events that happened.
Well, he lost friends in that event, didn't he?
He lost friends. And so for him, very personal, tragedy. I think as, an American, it really did, you felt so vulnerable. And it's interesting because I think back in the history of this country and, you know, this was as devastating, but I think more devastating than the attack in Pearl Harbor. And
because that was a war scenario. This
it was a war scenario. It was an attack on villains. This was your worst fears coming to life because they had taken what we felt was this incredibly safe, way of traveling across our great country, and suddenly it was a weapon being used against us. And I mean, there were so many questions, and of course, conspiracy theory and fear just ran rampant through the country for the first few weeks. And of course that carried on, over the course of, I would say years. And they introduced all of the new policies, all of the new, scanning to detectors you have to go through now.
Restrictions and stuff. Yeah.
And sadly it changed everything for the world, because, all of these things then started happening. For a lot of countries that probably didn't have it. And I don't know what you guys had in place prior to this, but, obviously things have changed, and now you all have, as secure methods of getting on planes as we do.
Mm-hmm. Well, as secure as they're trying to make you feel safe. I mean, these bastards will always get something through if they want to. No, I mean, the upshot of it, most of us, we had to take our shoes off. Airport all of a sudden, and that was about it. And carry smaller bottles of
liquids. No liquids.
Oh,
yeah,
God. 100 liquids.
Maximum in a clear bag. Yeah.
Yeah. Heaven forbid you had a pair of scissors in your bag.
I remember, oh, God, this was going back to 2005. We went to Mallorca for a holiday, and on holiday, was a lot of lakes where we were in Alcudia, and Jason, he was 14 at the time, he bought a little, retractable fishing rod. And he put that in his rucksack for the travel home, and we got stopped on the way through the airport to get on the flight home, because the scanner, the shape of a fishing rod looked like a weapon, so they searched him, and he was fucking petrified, was Paul Adam, and we were all shitting bricks. Yeah, and when the security found his fishing rod, we all had a bit of a laugh about it and packed him up back and that and let us go, but that was a scary moment. Like I say, it's just got repercussions throughout the world now.
Yeah. Boomer in the chat, by the way. Said, it was a weird day. He said, all of a sudden, the skies just cleared.
Yeah.
No planes were flying, which was very true.
Because it wasn't just the World Trade Center, was it? Yeah, one went in for Pentagon, and one crashed near Camp David. The passengers overcame the hijackers, and it went down.
Well, that was the one at the Pentagon.
Yeah, yeah.
There was one at the Pentagon, and there was one in Pennsylvania that crashed
in
the field. Yeah. And that's the one where the passengers tried to retake the plane.
In the documentary I watched in Butch, Dick Cheney, who was the vice president at the time, he had given the order to take the plane down. But before they got to take the plane down, the passengers took the plane down. Attacked, had a fight aboard. So, but he had given that order to attack. Right, the, you know, just wow. So the decisions that those guys had to make on that day, and what in the documentary is very interesting is such a lack of detail and data and communication, because it's not like now on Air Force One they were relying on flying over cities to get the TV channel on the screens,
right,
because it wasn't there all the time like now. You know, it wasn't satellite feeds; it was UHF or TRT. Anyway. Horrible. Life has changed forever. Anybody that lived on us like our age now, we feel it, and we feel it passionately. And you're right, Mark, when it doesn't have to be just now, but just thinking about it or watching something, it makes you choke up. Yeah.
Just for reference, that program I watched, you better watch it on the ITV Hub. It was called 9/11 Life Under Attack, and it was actually on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. So yeah, very interesting.
It was fucking
heartbreaking at the end. At the end, as the credits were rolling, it played you all the real voicemail messages people on the planes had left for their loved ones. So people were on the plane saying, "Oh, I'm not coming home. I love you," and all this. Oh, fucking hell, man. That just got me and Jenny at the end of that. So, yeah, very good documentary. Well put together. Not distasteful or anything. But heartbreaking. So anyway, I think we should move on from this.
Well, let's wrap things up. Again, To all those who have lost or suffered from 9/11, you know, our hearts are with you. And to the rest of our community, we also are there for you. So should you need a friendly shoulder to just cry on, or someone to bend an ear to just talk about stuff, we are here. And mostly I mean that by talk to Robin.
Hashtag F.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Come back next week. We look forward to things being just as fun as they always are. We love you, Kim. We love you, Gary. We love everybody. We're just loving people. And I love big boobs, and I cannot lie. All right. Take us out, Mark.
So that's a song. Chat, 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 chat. We had Lord. We had Martin. We had Boomer. We had lots and lots of folk in there tonight. So thank you very much in the chat. It's always nice to do that. You can join in the live chat on Twitch or YouTube or wherever you watch this, Pete. Thank you!
Boobs.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.